Welcome. It's delayed a bit, but so is the exit from Tulsa. It's SV Pod with Stanford Steve. And look, it's been a lousy week, and we know that the seriousness of the real world is heavy, man. Heavy. And maybe having a couple of days to just kind of breathe and think is helpful. And now we can hopefully just be a diversion and have some laughs and some chatter about last week, and do what we always do here on SV Pod with Stanford Steve, and that's just chop up what's going on in the world of sports and in our world. And our world was Tulsa last week, wasn't it, big boy?
Yes, it was. Thank you again to everybody there. Unbelievable event. Got to see firsthand what you guys do as a golf crew, logging some hours, and not a lot of whole else. People asking, you know, where'd you go Thursday, Friday, Saturday night? To the hotel. Back to the hotel.
To bed.
Yeah. Bunker down. But it was tremendous, man. Being able to follow those guys Sunday, locked in on JT, and all that came with it as he was, you know, the first group that ended up being contention late, but then, you know, around that back nine, being able to be there for all those shots was incredible.
Now let's back up a week ago when we did the pod.
Yeah.
We were really uncertain about the direction the evening was going to go, because we were going to meet up with internet friend Bunky Perkins.
Yeah.
Well, shout to Bunky, a real human, bon vivant of Tulsa, took us to a joint called Smoke. If you're in Tulsa, go get the, what was that? It was like a pork belly starter, some kind of
there was
bacon,
pork rinds, jam, and it was scrumptious.
Bro, just go with Bunky if you can and let him start ordering, because he ordered, I paid, because you know me. I want to ensure that you get the next one. So we'll let Bunky get the next one, but great dude. It's what a bizarre world, like especially our industry. I feel like I know so many people, Steve, who I don't know, but we know each other in this odd Twitter shared interest category, right?
Yeah.
And Bunky was just that guy, and he lives in Tulsa, and so he was the guy that we needed to meet up with. And anyway, that was fun. And then I enjoyed having you along for the ride, because you've seen, you know, all the big stuff. You were at the Final Four, obviously Super Bowls, college football playoffs, NBA finals. I mean, you've been to all the stuff. Seeing a golf major from the vantage point you got to see it, walking up close, walking in the down the fairways and with Max Homa and Taylor Gooch and Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay on a Tuesday, I think it was.
Yep.
And then being there truly in the arena Sunday with Justin Thomas as he's in the midst of this historic comeback. It's really hard to explain to people when you see it from where you saw it, what it is those dudes do, isn't it?
I can't say enough. And, you know, I'll go back to Thursday and Friday, Scott, when the conditions were something I'd never seen. Those guys playing in that humidity and being in the media tent waiting to help with interviews, for example, to see Tiger come down. And, I mean, he's dripping.
Like he walked out of a, like he dropped, walked out of a car wash.
Yeah, or jumped in a pool. Like, right. That, I mean, that's what it was. And they didn't make it any easier on the players, as the 18th green, you have to go up past the 10 and 1 tees, which is the highest point of the course. Yep. Then you got to go across the street. Then you got to go over the media tent. And then the thing with the media tent is we still have the COVID protocol, so everything's outside. Those guys are just looking for a water to dump on their heads. And they want to get the hell out of there and get back home to their home, where I'm sure has central air and air conditions, knowing that they're at hotels, Airbnbs, houses, you know, the whole nine. So that was the first get, but you could just feel it ramping up. You know, a guy that's been on this pod a bunch, Colin Morikawa, was going to go up to him. No chance I was going up to him after his first two rounds. I could just see it in his face, not happy. And I get it, man. Like, as personable as those guys want to be, there's still a time where they have their focus and it's their time. I feel there's these hangers-on that really, really can't see that. And I'm like, you got to give these guys their space, man. They just walked out of what you call and people call their arena. Like, there's no break, and they're dying to get back to the clubhouse. So it's just, man, let them go. We're going to be back here.
Yeah, we saw Justin Thomas Wednesday. It's hot as hell. He's working with his dad in the bunker, and there's a really simple, to me, it's like playing poker, and there's a tell. We see Scottie Scheffler, and he's in the short game area, and he's working.
Yep.
He turns and looks at us and starts talking about the Mavericks and the Suns and that series. He was at game three of that one, and you start chit-chatting. He's inviting you in. He's working, but he's not grinding. Justin's in a bunker, and he looks up and gives you what's up, but I'm looking, and I'm like, nope. And just gave him a wave and said, play well, boys, we'll see you. And I shot him a note later. I was like, hey, man, I didn't want to be in your space. Like, oh, no problem. I said, no, that's your office, man. And you got to read the room. And to be fair, I mean, if you're there and you're supposed to interview somebody when the rounds are done, I mean, you gotta go try to poke the bear and see what kind of chit-chat you can get. But you were there. I was not. I spent a lovely 7 hours in the Charlotte airport on Sunday. What a treat. Mm-hmm. What a treat. I told this story about on the Stu Gatz podcast about the guy that asked me, are you that guy? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. He's like, yeah, you Rex? I'm like, no. Because you look like Rex. I'm like, I got it, buddy. Thanks. Been here for f-ing 6 hours. Keep it moving.
Did you give him a pal or no? Did you give him a... No,
I might have. I was sitting in those rocking chairs, man. I walked back and forth from B to C gates trying to get on like 8 different flights to Baltimore or Washington. After the flight I got kicked off of because I was told I wasn't going to make it in time for the connect, only to get there an hour ahead of it and then not have any room on it. The upside, though, was in the 6 hours I got to watch the golf, which you were there in person. Yeah. Side note, you ever seen airport drunks?
Oh,
too many. I witnessed it was mesmerizing. There were these two guys talking to these two gals, and I don't think any of them were together originally, but there was one guy who was the fireball buyer guy, and they're loud and they're like, and they're just, I'm just staring at him trying to figure out what is the story of this dynamic. And I'm looking up and we got Zalatoris and Thomas are going to be in a playoff, but I'm trying to figure out, these people know each other or are they just airport drunk? And this may lead to something, but then what something is it going to lead to? You know, what do you think? What are you going to hook up behind the Phillips Seafood and the B Gate? What are you doing? You live in Sacramento. She's going to Kansas City, man. This is not going to work. But if you've had enough fireball, I guess maybe, or maybe they were knew each other. I have no idea. But I'm standing there next to these people that are also watching the golf, and I'm like, what do we got here? I don't know. I can't figure it out either. Like, do you think they know each other? He's like, I think the one guy's trying to, like, God love him. Anyway, as I'm watching that, you're actually following Justin Thomas, who's putting a move on, and you were there on 18. What happened?
First off, I was there on 6, and I know it's been documented. They didn't show it on the broadcast. I'm dying to talk to him about it. It's the worst golf shot I've ever seen.
A shank.
He shanks one off the 6th tee and hits it basically on the third green. Somehow, he only bogeyed that hole. And 6 was the hole walking that course where I finally saw Sunday. They put the pin straight ahead. It was dead. 215 yards straight ahead. not only wind as the day went on. I'm like, that's going to be a hole where guys are going to birdie. They put it behind. They put the pin behind the bunker on one day, and then the other bunker on the other day. This today, Sunday, it was straight ahead. He failed that one. We go to seven. He gets back. Eight comes close, misses a birdie putt. Then he starts finding something. You can just tell Bones is telling him, like, just stay with this. As you're watching Pereira behind you drop strokes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he does his thing. Birdie 17. Place is going nuts. Now we know we got action. So I'm in a spot where I'm in between the 17th green and the 18th tee. So I can see it. And then when those guys come to the 18th tee, I just walk back towards the little tent they had where there were some people getting after it. We'll talk about that guy.
Like our airport people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was Fireball being downed. I will tell you that. But Justin steps up to the tee on 18, Scott. And if you're watching, and I was waiting, I asked everybody, they couldn't hear it. He's right over the ball. He's got his driver in his hand. He's ready to hit a missile. And then it's dead silent. And all you hear is 1 minute, last call. 1 minute, last call. And Justin, exhales a laugh, looks over at Bones, and Bones is right in one step in front of me, and Bones like looks down and back at me like, oh my God. And I'm like, you can't laugh. In the most important time here, you get silent. And Justin, I give him credit, he steps away, has a laugh, and then steps back over and just hits and just annihilates his driver. And then I stayed there because the next group, I think it was Answer, and I forgot who he was playing with, but then you still have
Seamus Power, maybe.
Oh, he doesn't mind hitting the ball. And then you had Zalatoris and Young, and then obviously Mito and that whole thing. So I stayed on the ATT because I'm like, this is a good spot. These people behind us are getting after it. As every golfer's walking to the tee box, there's one guy up there. He had to be 20 for 20. Every single golfer walking up to him, he's like, don't even think about it. Hammer the driver. And
well,
sure enough, Answer hits one in the water. He's steaming. And then Zalatoris and Young come up and just hit lasers. And I'm like, all right. I thought by the crowd roar, Justin birdied 18. So I kept looking over to see the scoreboard. I'm like, he didn't birdie that? Like, everybody was just going crazy. He had the loudest gallery all day, no doubt. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go back. If this thing ends, Pereira's just got to, you know, get home on 18. So I sprint back to the compound, sit down, Andy North, Pereira's teeing up, and then that happens.
Don't be afraid to hit the driver. Hammer the driver.
But you know what? I get it. He hit it in the creek. Yeah. If he hits something less and makes bogey because he had 225 in, everyone says, you played to make a bogey, you deserve to be in a playoff. Yeah. I don't want to hear it, man. I just don't want to hear it. There was a creek there. Scotty Scheffler hit in the creek on Thursday. He made a four.
We were walking with Cantlay on Tuesday, and he hit it in the creek. Remember that?
Because he hit it
too
well.
No idea. Yeah, he had no idea that was possible. He's like, I didn't think the slope was like that big. It comes into play on Sunday in the final round. And then just to see that playoff, I'm a fan of I'm asking around, like, what's the playoff? And then for it to be 13, 17, 18 was pretty special because I knew 17, as they moved the tee box up, that was going to be the hole where the difference was. Sure enough, it was. And Justin gets home. But incredible. The atmosphere, the electricity, that course is awesome. The people there were great. So, again, shout out to Southern Hills. It was absolutely phenomenal to be there and feel the tension of a major. I mean, you watch it on TV, you sense the silence. But that silence in person is way more just in your face. And those guys standing over the ball, man, like, and the putts on 13 and 16 where they're waiting for each green to go. And, you know, now you're in the last four groups. And, you know, the pressure is on.
Yeah.
And it's just something to see, man. The people were tremendous, and I give the players all the credit. It was fantastic.
There's something that's hard to explain, but the silence of that many people is incredibly intimidating. you feel the presence of 40,000 eyes. And I go back to the old Paul Azinger line I've referenced a lot, that everyone wants to be noticed, but not everyone is comfortable being watched. And, you know, I get the Mito criticism, but hopefully people give him the nod because he stood there and he took it and he answered questions. And, you know,
yeah,
he played phenomenal golf, and at the worst possible moment, he made a double, and it cost him his first big opportunity on the stage. The playoff format for the PGA is awesome. And this venue was perfect because 13 was a short par 5, 17 is a drivable par 4, and then 18 is an absolute beast of a par 4. So you couldn't have asked for anything more. And you could have actually asked for one thing more, and that's to get out of there before Tuesday.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Sunday got a little
grim.
Frustrating. Grim. A little frustrating as you know, all the crew is having, you know, a Sunday night cocktail, and words coming in person by person, their flight's canceled, So we got another extra 24 plus hours in Tulsa, and
there you go.
We got through it, and I thank you. I thank you, everybody, for the perseverance. But we got back in time to pick up the kids from school.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Do we ever figure out where that Gotham Bridge was that they blew up over the river? Like, anyone ever sort that out?
I didn't get the research on that.
We forgot to ask Bunky. What's the story with that bridge that goes halfway across the river? You're not allowed to swim in or walk in, and then it just stops. Did the Penguin blow it up so that Batman couldn't get over here to the meeting place side of Tulsa? What are we doing? And there's, you know what? Southern Hills is awesome. The people, the fans were incredible. Couldn't have been nicer.
Unreal.
Thanks to everybody that said hey, and thanks to everybody that said stuff about Otis. It just doesn't stop. Appreciate your kindness on that one. And I love being out there. And appreciate the kindness about the coverage. You guys seem to enjoy the way we do our thing. It's a treat to be with David Duvall, Dave Fleming, Bob Wischusen, Curtis Strange, etc. Enjoyed it.
Important question about the broadcast. I noticed you diving into the refrigerator in the compound before we left every night to grab some libations. Those libations, obviously, Diet Coke. I'm not asking for a total number, but, you know, you're on the air for 12 hours.
Yep.
Let's just say Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe to say we averaged one an hour?
I didn't get to a dozen, I don't think, but I went through a clean sixer of the bottles, and that has nothing to do with the extras we had in the morning or after. I don't think I reached the John Daly number. I feel like somebody tweeted out that Daly had like 21 cigarettes, 14 Diet Cokes, and 6 packs of peanut M&Ms. How's he upright? He's been doing it a long time, man. He knows how to calibrate the engines. We definitely got to double digits every day. And I've got that one hardwired. I figured that out. I mean, when you start on ESPN Plus, you know, and your wake-up call is 5, whatever, you need a cooler at your feet, ice water in there, because that keeps the drinks the coldest. And you just have a nonstop couple of 2 or 3 in there. Probably, you know, every hour or so, you're popping one back, and you make it. make it to nighttime when you get back and you go to Jimmy John's for dinner, and the people look at you and they shake their head and say, "We're closed." I'm like, "I can see you." And you call the pizza place and they say, no, our delivery person's car broke down and there's not delivering. And you call the in-room dining and no one answers. And then around 11, after you finally get connected, someone brings a steak to your room and you eat a hunk of meat and lay in the bed at midnight. And you wake up at 5 the next day and start over.
It happens.
Living on tolls of time. So that was the PGA Championship.
But Rochester next year.
Yeah, can't wait. Garbage plate. That's a big thing up there. Me and you, how great's John McGinnis, by the way?
That man is a complete legend. I have no other word to describe him other than legend.
Storyteller. As I said on the broadcast, after Wright Thompson does a piece, if you hear John McGinnis, it's like, is it John McGinnis or Wright Thompson? I can never tell for sure, but they both sound kind of the same. Wright Thompson, who has the single greatest quote of all time about Twitter.
Yes.
If I wanted somebody I don't know to tell me, you on my phone in my pocket, why would I want to let somebody I don't know tell me, you on my phone in my pocket? So he quit Twitter. That's Wright Thompson, not John McGinnis. But Johnny Maggs was out there with us. Great. Marty Smith, I'm forgetting who else was out there. Gene Wojciechowski, Billy Kratzer, Andy North, and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's good fun. But now we're back, and now we hunker down and look towards the finish line. We get between the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs, and it's funny, not going until the middle of July this year because of the no bubble and no slowdown. It's sort of like, whoa, we get to July, and then it's starboard. Let's go. Who are the old guys? Looks like Stanford Steve and his pals are back. So make plans accordingly, Monty. Sort us out.
We also got swim season on the horizon.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. We're going to see. We got some question marks in our about. I'm hoping.
Okay.
I'm hoping. Before we move on, I want to quickly mention another podcast to check out, The Low Post with Zach Lowe. Probably already know about it. If you don't, Zach dropped a new episode on Monday reflecting on how the Warriors have made it back to the doorstep of another trip to the NBA Finals and talking to ESPN's Tim Bontemps about the Eastern Conference Finals. Follow The Low Post with Zach Lowe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So far, the Stanley Cup playoffs are great every night, and the NBA playoffs are just, they feel like February basketball.
Booty.
It's the strangest thing.
It is.
I hope the finals are good. Because the number of decent games we've had in the conference championship round has been, I mean, I don't say none, but kind of. Games just haven't been great. And Mark Cuban's thing about how the play-in wrecked it because it's every other night, I don't think the play-in explains it all. But, like, at some point, just give them three nights. Give them two nights. Give them extra time.
We're gonna have it now.
I understand that, but I'm saying especially with the, like, Miami as banged up as they are. I mean, Kyle Lowry getting off the bus can't walk. Mm. Jimmy Butler's knee hurts. Hero's groin's messed up. I mean, I don't know. Boston's got some sort of faith healer in the back because a couple games ago you had Marcus Smart roll his ankle. You had Tatum's shoulder hurt. They went in the back, bang. They came back out. Let's go. I wish everybody were healthy because that could be a hell of a series. I'd like Boston in that series if everyone was good, but they're not at the moment. And so we don't root for anything in this business, but if Boston wins, it means we have the whole holiday weekend off. So, you know.
No big deal.
Just saying. We don't root for anything. But I'm just saying that what the results are if Boston were to win. And as we record this late in this week, because Steve didn't get back from Tulsa till I think yesterday or something, we've got the Golden State Dallas game tonight. Golden State could clinch. So by this time next week when we talk, obviously we'll have the finals up and going. If we get Colorado and Edmonton, which after St. Louis's amazing comeback on Wednesday night, who knows? But if we got Colorado and Edmonton, I feel like it would be just insane. It could be one gong show after another.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, watching those things, people have talked about it plenty. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you that I watch regular season NHL, but I've watched every night.
It's on
the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Regular season hockey's on. We do, if, when the Caps, hey, what, let's Caps are playing whoever, we get it up there. But I mean, yep. And there's certain teams. I think Oilers and Avs, we've definitely watched a fair amount. Yeah. And it's just because, I mean, let's just be honest. A guy like McKinnon, a guy like McDavid, they've each had goals like the one McKinnon had the other night and the one that McDavid had earlier in the playoffs, where it's just, it doesn't even make any sense. And two big goons that have never skated in their lives can watch it and just go, show me that again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, look, give the Blues credit. They're down on the road, three goals in an elimination game, and they force a game six. That's spectacular. So I got no rooting interest there other than if it is Avs, Oilers. I mean, it just feels like it would be wildly entertaining hockey. On the east side, we've got a 2-2 series playing tonight. And the Lightning are, I mean, I don't know what you do with those guys.
Champions. That's all I'll say. They've proved in two different circumstances why they are the champs. Coming back against Toronto and then just saying, here, have a dose, Florida. You want to claim to a state title? Bring it on. We're the state champs.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed your parade after you beat the Caps and won your series. How about you don't win a game against us? I mean, good God. Those dudes, you said it perfectly. You said it absolutely perfectly. There's a pedigree. There's an understanding. There's a DNA, all the different ways to kind of frame what winners do, and that's them. Also, Vasilevsky's, when push comes to shove, doesn't give up goals that matter, I guess. But I whatever. I don't care who it is in the East, between Carolina or the Rangers. Just strap it on, boys. Buckle up. Mm-hmm. Because a team in the blue with a lightning bolt, they're a lot. They're a lot to get rid of.
Do you get a little music in this morning?
No. I don't know if I want to get into this. It was, okay. You know what? I'm going to. Because the Ben Folds song, Good Morning Sun, about having a boy. And there's a line in it, you're so much like me, I'm sorry. And years ago, when your boy was in kindergarten, I was meant to get up in front of the families and the kids and do the Itsy Bitsy Spider. And I walked out there. Everybody was eyeballing me. I looked around and said, I can't do it. And I ran. All I remember was I felt like I was in like a field and there was a fence. And I just ran towards the fence. It's weird. I don't know what else I remember about any of this. It's just, I wasn't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Thursday morning, there was a performance. And it was very early, but I mean, it's my son. And he said, Dad, we have a performance. I said, I got you, pal. Set the alarm. Didn't get a ton of sleep. Ready to go. Standing there this morning. My wife's there. My aunt actually came. She lives nearby. See my little guy. He eyeballs me. I see a smile. I smile at him. I'm like, all right, we're good to go. And then speaking of those tells, those poker tells, every parent knows.
Yeah.
Your kid's got a tell. And he looked down at the ground. And I saw him, I saw his little lip, and I'm like, uh-oh. And my man went and stood on his little riser there, and he had no chance. He had, Steve, the top of his drawers, he had pulled them up so they were above where his short line was, because he was just in a state. And I'm looking, I'm trying to get him to look at me to say, you're good. It's okay. You're all right. I'm right here. But eyes never met mine again. And as the singing started, he just continued to shrink. And I thought he's going to lay down in a ball on this riser in front of all these people. And bless his teacher's heart. She was giving him you got it, whatever. And I could see it. I could see it. I moved off to the side and went over, and I'm like, you just get him out of it. I wasn't going to go pull him off the stage, but he needed to not be up there anymore. And so he made his way over, and bless his heart, the little guy he couldn't go. He couldn't do his little number. And I said, hey, so what happened, bud? He goes, I don't know. I don't know any of these people. Who are all these people?
He's right.
Exactly. And you know what? Right. And you know what you realize with COVID? He's never done it. He doesn't know any of these people. They're all standing around in a circle looking at him. And now he's supposed to dance and perform like a zoo animal. He's got nothing. No bid for that. But as a parent, you want so desperately I just hugged him and I tried to get him to stop hyperventilating and calm down. And then he was embarrassed because he just was like, so when I picked him up, we talked on the way home, and I said, buddy, I got to talk to you about something. He said, I know what you want to talk to me about. My performance. his performance. And I said, yeah, I said, listen, when I was little, I told him the Itsy Bitsy Spider story. And he said, you did? I said, yep. I said, I ran away. I wouldn't do it. And I said, buddy, you stood up there and you were trying your best. He's like, not really. I said, I got you, man. I understand. I know how you were scared, but we're proud of you because you walked out there and we the next time. And he's like, next time? I'm like, no, there's, no. I just said, look what daddy does now. And I was like, do you know what daddy does? He's like, I forget. I said, you don't know what I do? He goes, I said, we talk about sport. Yeah, I know. And I said, and there's lots of people that watch. And I said, I don't get nervous anymore. It's, and I said, things won't make you nervous over time.
Get used to it.
Kind of. But just every parent can relate to
absolutely
that, to the tell.
Yes.
And when I saw the smile, I was encouraged. I thought I was going to see the clown prince version of my son, the one that likes to, do kid stuff. And nope, I got the guy that was just like, who are all these people eyeballing me? And where they come from? And I would like to not be doing this. Where's my mom and dad? And so, we'll try to perform better at the next one, whenever that may be. Okay. So that's how the performance went.
Not really.
We'll get there. Of course, I'm not troubled. I'm not troubled.
No.
We're back at it. Memorial Day, you going anywhere?
No.
You're going to lay low.
I was just in Tulsa for 10 days. I'm good. I want to be home. Do your kids smash hot dogs? I got a bad feeling we're going to set a record Memorial Day weekend hot dog intake. I feel like it's been on since I got home. Daddy, fire up a hot dog.
If they're grilled, yes. The little one, it's at least, if you grill them, it's at least three.
Does he joke. Eat him in his hand like a Slim Jim?
Of course he does. What is he? What are we at a gala? What am I at the prom? I'm four. Just pick him up in my hand and just eat him like an animal. Come on. Oh. Yeah, there's no manners here. Just they'll double fist.
And
I'll give you that. I'll give you a grilled hot dog is a tasty treat.
So good.
You microwave it.
Come on.
I'm saying, like, he'll eat a microwave dog, but that's just one of those. You grill it and it's however many are made.
Get the tray out.
Yep. He'll eat them. So yeah, I mean it's we got Big Lax weekend for University of Maryland. I appreciate Coach Tillman allowing me to chit chat with the fellas, but both the men and the women there. Big Lax weekend coming up for the Terps. And then next weekend when we're back, we got to work this out. Dirty Terps baseball could be hosting a regional.
You're damn right they might be.
Let's go.
I'm in. We're invested on Terps baseball. I'll just put it at that.
Futures. You got one of those umbrella hats that's got like a sweatband and then there's a big umbrella that's on top of it. You should get one of those and we'll get one of those picnic, one of those folding chairs and sit out there in the outfield and with a hibachi.
Next to your old dorm room.
Yeah. What a dump. It's not funny. I lived in Ellicott Hall, and let me tell you what, it was a dump, and it probably still is. But when I went to Maryland, which was a billion years ago, the baseball team was not what they are now. They were not hosting regionals and at the Bob, but it looks like we could might have a little something going.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of hats, I went with Marty Smith. I know Marty wore his on TV. Mm-hmm. We got the same hat at the store. The straw hat I'm talking about, I sweat right through it. It like disintegrated. It was disgusting. Disgusting.
Well, yeah, you gotta know what you sort of the lane you can be in.
It has the nice elastic, absorbing, and it's gone.
No, you got a sweat.
Now it's the kids. It's the kids' cowboy hat for the house.
There you go. It's just not a loss. All's not lost. No. My man was out there just wandering with sweat towels. That was fun. Enjoyed having you there. And enjoyed the kindness of the folks out in Tulsa. And you got anything else? We'll wrap this thing up.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this. Everybody be safe this weekend. Have an awesome time. Memorial Day weekend is the best. Outdoor grilling, outside. But if you play Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus, I don't like you because I hate that song.
There you go. That's every it. Week. Every week. Last week it was What's Going On by Four Non Blondes.
So plenty of people tweeting in saying they've heard it at Starbucks. It's actually pretty funny. So keep them coming. I get a kick out of it because I don't have to hear it. Yep. I know the people's aggression.
Don't play Achy Breaky Heart and be safe out there. We're back next week at some point following Memorial Day, and we will see you back here on SV Pod. Stay good until then.
Terps.